Welcome back to Racecast, everybody. We have had a very eventful weekend, but I think we've had an even more eventful start to the week. It's Tuesday right now. This will be coming out on Wednesday, but there's a lot of funny rumours floating around ahead of Brazil, which is obviously this weekend. So we have got a lot to talk about because we're going to talk about Mexico. We're then going to look ahead to Brazil. We've got all these dodgy rumours to talk about in the meantime. So now you're going to hear a little car noise and then we're going to start.
All right, guys, welcome along. There's quite a lot that has come after the Mexican Grand Prix, which is quite bizarre. So all we know at the moment is the rumours that were going around was Fernando is retiring.
Yeah.
Fernando is going to Red Bull.
Yeah.
And Fernando is staying at Aston Martin.
And that Perez is retiring. And that Perez is going to Aston Martin. And that Lawrence Stroll is actually selling Aston Martin.
There's quite a lot to dissect here because I don't really know what is true. So there's a lot of... So let's start off with the Lawrence Stroll one, okay? Because apparently there was some trades that are happening, an injection of 200 and something million have been...
Yeah, I think they were like... It was something to do with shares in the company, and like, yeah, £225 million worth of them were moved elsewhere.
I can't see him selling, in all honesty.
Well, I saw quite a funny tweet where it was like, Lawrence Stroll can't sack his son, so he's just selling the company just to avoid having to do it. So, yeah, I'm not sure whether I can see him selling now, whether he's just looking at it and he's like, well, Lance has had a lot of years in F1, so like, I've given my son what he needed.
Yeah.
Secondly, based on this season, the value of Aston Martin stock will be higher. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they can get more money for that team now because of where they're going to finish this season. So maybe he's thinking like, okay, that we have gone backwards this season. A step forward compared to last season, but throughout the season, they've taken steps back. Maybe he's thinking, now's a good time. I'm hearing it's the Saudi Public Investment Fund looking to invest. So thank God that there is a cost cap at this point. Because where would it end?
It'd be like the Man City of F1.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It could get ridiculous in that sense. But yeah, interesting. I mean, if he does go, I'm sure Lance Stroll goes, because
surely that's got to be your first order of business. Not even like, you know, having photos or doing the publicity stuff. It's like, what's your first order of business? Get rid of Lance.
He's out. Make sure you lock Alonso in.
Yeah.
Make sure you get someone good for that second seat. Don't just pull like a K-Mag or even a Perez, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, go for someone.
Because when you look at their season, it's a bizarre season, isn't it? And it's mad that it's still in the same year, because this is a team who started off very strong. They hadn't been on the podium in a while. Alonso in Bahrain on the podium looked strong.
Like the first three races he got a podium, yeah. Do you know what I mean?
And they were looking so strong, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, this is Aston Martin back now. The season goes on, they have a bit of a downfall. Fernando Alonso comes out and says that famous saying, this is the last time you're not going to see him on the podium. Actually, we haven't really seen him on the podium since.
Well, we haven't seen him on the podium since.
And they've just got worse.
Yeah, like...
And teams around them are getting better.
Now to the point where like the car is one of the worst on the grid.
Which is mad. Considering the beginning of the season, it was one of the best. So, yeah.
It was the second best car on the grid.
And Aston Martin have got real problems at the moment. And one of them is the driver. I'm saying driver.
But there is potential that they do have a driver's problem if the rumours of Fernando Alonso retiring or moving to Red Bull are true.
What would you think?
They're going to have a big problem.
What would your thoughts be on that? Because obviously that would mean Perez would go to Aston Martin, because I'm assuming it would just be a swap. Fernando Alonso goes to Red Bull.
That doesn't make sense to me. For
Sergio Perez, in all honesty, that is a massive lifeline.
That is a lifeline because, yeah, I struggle to see why a team would want to give him a seat right now. If he can't do it at Red Bull, he can't do it anywhere. Let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's not... That car's a cheat code.
It is an outrageous, yeah. And again, this weekend, we're touching it in a bit anyway, but he showed a bit of fight. But again, decision making was wrong, in my opinion. But we'll touch on that in a bit with his.
Well,
with
the race. Yeah. I mean, the fight, he lost the fight.
In massive proportion, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, and it had, you know, it took him out of the race.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's having fight and being calculated, and then there's just being desperate.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we'll talk about it, but he just looked desperate to me.
For me, Fernando Alonso needs to stay in the sport. He's shown this year he still got it.
Well, it would seem weird because he signed a 2-year contract with Aston Martin. Why would he retire? Do you know what I mean? Why not just see out the other year?
If he leaves, for example, or there's issues, this is prime Alonso. Any team he goes to, he seems to fall out with someone. Alpine, he fell out. Yeah. McLaren, he fell out. You know, at the beginning of the season, oh, I love this team. This is an amazing team. And since then, oh, how can I help, you know, Lance? Don't really see that much more at the moment.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things when you're riding the high, aren't you? Whereas now they're in the pits.
Yeah.
They've been overtaken by McLaren. I mean, it's just not looking good, is it? Like, the car is going backwards to the point now where they're struggling to finish top 10.
Yeah.
So, you know, we used to, when we did the predictions for the next race at the end of every podcast, at the start of the season, Alonso was always one of the men in top 3.
Yeah.
Now,
lucky if he's in top 10.
Yeah, I wouldn't even put him top 10. So, I don't know. I did actually also remember one of the other rumours. There's also another rumour that Carlos Sainz is leaving Ferrari.
I haven't heard that, but that would be a bit of a weird one.
It would be a weird one. It was
going where?
I don't know. I just saw something about his mum liked a tweet or something. And then the rumour is that Carlos Sainz is leaving Ferrari unless they get rid of Charles Leclerc. It sounds like bullshit. It probably is bullshit. Because it's one guy, really, that's starting all these rumours. Albert Fabrega, right?
Yeah.
On Twitter. He's always the guy that takes the picture of the cars in the paddock, in the pits, on the Thursday. So, like, if a team's brought upgrades, it's normally his photos that you'll see.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can find his tweet, right? Because his first tweet that kicked things off was, I don't want to believe the rumour that they have told me and now in the paddock. No. That's the tweet. He didn't give any single clue as to what it is. But I did see stuff. He's obviously Spanish. I say obvious. Well, Albert Fabrega is, you know, pretty Spanish name. But yeah, people were saying like, oh, it feels personal, like the way he's talking about it. So I saw something where, this is it, this is the tweet, right? So someone replied saying, Sainz leaving Ferrari? His mother liked this tweet a few weeks ago. The tweet is, this is in quotations, by the way, Carlos Sainz is clear that he will only remain in Ferrari if Charles Leclerc leaves, a fact that seems complicated, so he will have no choice but to leave. And, his mum liked that tweet.
I honestly can't see...
But it seems like it's a bit of a burn, because you know that, what's the guy's name? Mitch McConnell or something, the senator that always freezes. Have you seen the video where he'll be talking there? He'll just be like, it's like a picture of that saying, like, bro is frozen. He's realized he's not built for this. That would be weird if his mum was liking that, because that's a Sainz burn, though.
Yeah.
So it does seem personal. I get what they're saying, and it sounds like it could be something related to a Spanish driver. The more, I think, obvious one for me out of those two is Alonso retiring, but I still don't see that happening.
No. I obviously, the other one which we've seen, have you seen the Red Bull F1 store? Have you seen for the Las Vegas Grand Prix, they've got a Red Bull Danny Ric number 3 hat?
No, but did you... speaking of that, there was also... Where was it? Was it Mexico
before? How many sirens are out there today? Yeah, has that just been, like, continuous?
Yeah, there's a lot going on in Seaford. It's a dodgy place. There was It was before the race. I'm pretty sure it was Mexico.
Yeah.
But, like, Danny Ric was in Red Bull merch. Like, it was Perez, Max, and Danny Ric, and Danny Ric was in Red Bull merch. How does that make sense?
Yeah.
No, he's an AlphaTauri driver. Like, what are they doing? Can that fuck off? That stupid siren.
That's been going on for ages. I don't know if you can pick it up on the actual audio, but, yeah, I don't know. It's a weird one, isn't it? Because Sergio Perez... surely he's got to go.
Yeah, no,
he's got to go. And
I think he will go. I would bet £100 on it that he won't have a seat
unless the next three races. What was it, three races, four races?
I don't even think there's any way unless he wins all four races.
Yeah, yeah. I just can't see it. And the question is, who goes into that seat? Because at the moment we've got...
To be fair, it's only three races.
Three races, yeah. You know, we've got Fernando Alonso, who's supposedly being linked in the silly season at the moment.
Lando Norris.
Lando Norris, Danny Ric, Tsunoda.
If Sainz is to leave Ferrari...
I can't see
Could they look at Carlos Sainz?
I just can't
Toro
see Sainz
Rosso
going.
History.
Yeah.
He's been teammates with Max before.
I just can't see him going.
I'll be shocked if he left. I think that is just like a dumbass rumour.
But there was one other rumour that Lewis Hamilton was potentially going to retire as well. So it's just a bit of a silly season, a silly week at the moment, I think, with all these rumours.
Where did you see that one?
That was on Twitter literally just a second ago.
Who said that one? There is no way Lewis Hamilton retires. There just is no way.
What is a rumour? Hamilton retire end of this year. It looks like just people.
What, someone just replied?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was
a dumbass.
Yeah. I just, I can't see that either. So it's just a bit of a weird one, isn't it? So going back to the Aston Martin one. So the trades made at the 10:52 on the 30th of October were of Aston Martin Global Holdings. So the 225 million GBX is actually just over 2.5 million pounds in valuation after conversion. So.
2.5 million pounds, it's more than that.
So read that, because this will make more sense to you from a... You're more of a smarter one when it comes to shares and whatever.
Oh, they've been community noted. Okay, well that means it wasn't 255 million...
So
shares that were traded. So yeah, it's literally... GBX is 1/100th of a single pound, so they're like worth a penny essentially. So if they traded 255 million,
it'd be 2.5.
Yeah, divide that by 100.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it is. That to me would suggest that is really not
as big as what we thought.
I mean, 2.5 million. I know that sounds like a lot, but when you're looking at a what is presumably a billion-pound company. That's nothing.
So what does it mean if it's community noted?
Community notes, that's where like people like Twitter will debunk or verify information.
Fine, okay. It's going to be interesting. So we'll find out a bit more, and obviously heading into Brazil this weekend, we'll find out a bit more about these rumours. But yeah, let us know what your thoughts are on them. I can't see... So just to recap, I can't see Fernando Alonso retiring. I can't see Lawrence Stroll selling, all honesty. I can see Perez leaving.
Yeah. But the thing is with that Perez thing, I don't think that's going to cause like a domino effect with drivers moving here, there and everywhere, because I think they'll get Danny Ric in and then Lawson will just fill that AlphaTauri seat. You know, I don't see them going for an Alonso and then Aston Martin have to go for a...
Perez.
Yeah, like an Ocon, or do you know what I mean? Like something that causes a chain of effect.
Oh, don't get me started on Ocon. I think he actually had one of the most cringiest moments of the season. Well, actually, I'd say cringiest moments in F1.
Where?
Well, his radio message.
I didn't hear it. What was
it? What? Oh, can you tell Haas that I'm coming for them.
Oh, yeah.
I was just listening, and he still didn't even overtake him for like another seven laps. I was like, Ocon, mate, that's not cool. It was just embarrassing.
I mean, you can't show off overtaking Haas. That's like showing off that you've beaten up a kid, isn't it? there's nothing to brag about. Obviously, you're going to beat him up.
So shall we get on to talking about the race?
Yeah.
I have to say, I didn't mind it this weekend. I thought it was all right.
Yeah, it was okay. I think it gave us, you know, we knew Max had won.
Well,
that was fine. But like, I think we're kind of used to that this season. If you can look beyond that.
Well, this bypassed the practices because it was literally just a dominance from Verstappen.
Yeah, I mean, you knew Max was going to win the race.
Yeah, interestingly though, there was a lot of teams that struggled. So Williams, Albon looked very good in practice all across the FP1, 2 and 3.
Yep.
Mercedes seemed to struggle. Ferrari were there or thereabouts, but they didn't look like they had much pace at all. And then we headed into qualifying. For me, I thought it was just literally going to be a Red Bull dominance. When I say Red Bull dominance, I mean a Max Verstappen dominance. But that wasn't the case. Somehow, we saw a front row lockout of the Ferraris, which I don't know where that came from, in all honesty.
This Ferrari is a mystery because over one lap, sometimes it's incredibly quick.
Yeah.
Sometimes the fastest car on the track.
Yeah.
But I do kind of feel like it's at this point, you know, it's only over one lap.
Yeah.
And you know that as soon as the race starts, even the Mercs are probably going to get in front of them.
Well, it showed that obviously Charles Leclerc getting his 10, well, the last 10 poles, he hasn't been able to convert.
11 now.
Is it 11?
I think this one was his 11th that he can convert.
Q1, the biggest surprise, Lando Norris. They literally just got it wrong, didn't they?
He got caught out by a yellow flag. So
little Fernando Alonso, little spin.
Yeah.
Disappointing for Norris. Heading into Q2, there wasn't really any major surprises. Alonso went out, but again, what we're seeing with these Aston Martins at the moment, it's not a surprise. Tsunoda didn't set a time just because he was starting from the back of the grid anyway. He took a new PU, was it?
Yeah, I think it was.
So that wasn't really a surprise. The biggest surprise, though, was Albon, especially in the practices. I was expecting him to get easily into Q3.
I mean, he was looking like he could even pull off a second row. Do you know what I mean?
So, but, you know, his frustration was coming over the radio in the sense of, what is it? It's like a completely different car. How is this possible?
Yeah.
He did get into Q3. However, his lap time got deleted, which meant Joel then got promoted into Q3, which then meant both Alfa Romeos, I think for the first time this year,
had got
into Q3, which was good. So Bottas P9, Charles P10 in the end. And the Mercedes, again, Hamilton P6, P8. The Mercs on Saturdays, this is where they let themselves down because their starting position is where they really struggle. Mm-hmm. The race pace seems to be good. They seem to show that actually on a Sunday they can do it.
Because that's the thing, like, would they actually be able to... How well would they be able to race Max if they were actually qualifying effectively? Because we know that cars drive differently when they're in clean air.
Yeah.
You know, there's no... I don't think we've had... And I'm talking towards this part of the season where Red Bull have clearly stopped developing. Mm. Mercedes brought an upgrade literally last week at Austin. You know, if they were qualifying more effectively... Could we actually see them challenging Max at the front at this point in the season? I know that wouldn't have been the case for the first half of the season, but I feel like it is letting them down that they're just unable to fire their tyres up.
Yeah, and it's interesting, isn't it? They've said this pretty much all year. Our Saturdays is where they struggle the most. They've had one pole this year, which is obviously fine because it was Lewis Hamilton. It was good for us as fans, but... Yeah, their Saturdays, they really struggle, especially when you look in, like, sometimes Q2s. Lewis Hamilton was quickest in Q2.
Yeah.
And then it got to Q3, and it's like, no, it just doesn't work. So...
Yeah, that's happened quite a lot this season.
It has, yeah. And I think that's something which they're trying to work out, but it is costing them. It is costing them, because for a lot of those laps in the race, they were stuck behind Danny Ric for a long time. Then they're stuck behind Charles Leclerc. Shout out to Danny Ric, P4. solid weekend for him. And actually promotes AlphaTauri off the bottom of the table.
They would have finished next to each other if Tsunoda hadn't have spun out.
Yeah.
But yeah, P4 qualifying ahead of Sergio Perez in, well, I'm not going to call them the sister team, the parent team.
Yeah.
In a rocket ship Red Bull, that must have felt good for Danny Ric, but that must have felt awful
for Sergio Perez.
Yeah.
But on a whole, yeah, I thought qualifying was good. Really happy for Leclerc and Sainz as well. Solid, you know, Verstappen end up being P3. But let's get into the race, shall we? Because there's quite a lot that happened in the sense of Sergio Perez heading into this one had a lot of pressure on him. And you could tell that with regards to all weekend, he seemed to be quite serious. He was quite, every time you saw him in all of his interviews, he was very much like, I need a good weekend, I need a solid weekend. He had a lot to prove.
And the fact that it was his home Grand Prix only added to all of that. Like, he did have a lot to prove.
Yeah.
He did need to have a good weekend. But he was also in front of his home fans, so he had to do so even more.
The start, I'll be honest, I don't really know what the Ferraris were doing, because both Red Bulls got a great start.
Well, Sainz who opened the door for Max, no?
Sainz opened the door for Max.
Yeah.
Charles Leclerc kind of got sandwiched between both Red Bulls.
Yeah.
Because it was a good start, to be fair, it was a good start from Perez. In P5, he got right down there. And actually,
yeah, no, he got a great
solid
launch.
Start.
Yeah, and then Charles came all the way across. Max managed to come up the inside.
Yeah,
Leclerc's now sandwiched, and I think similar to Qatar,
Perez turned too early. He had space around the.
It was
outside.
A racing incident, but if you had to give blame to someone, it was Perez.
Yeah, and the mad thing is, and what I don't understand is that Red Bull had the pace, which you saw. All Perez had to do was, even if he goes into P3 going into the first corner, that's already a brilliant start for him. He would have caught that. He would have caught that Ferrari very quick.
Yeah, he could have just backed off and just not turned in, just taking it a little wider. Okay, yeah. Charles is likely going to take the position because he'll have a better exit. But that's fine. Just play the long game. But you could tell it's a mentality thing where he's like, I have to do it now, and it's backfired on it.
It was an easy P1, P2 for them, realistically, this weekend.
Yeah, that car was really quick around there.
So, disappointing for that. On a whole, quite a good start,
I do think Mexico has got one of the best runs down to the first corner.
Yeah.
It reminds me, I know they're different, but similar to the States.
Yeah.
Where it's got quite a long, I know it's not, like Mexico really is long, but like it's long into like a fairly wide corner where, because you've got a toe all the way up there, it's so common to have like three abreast.
Yeah.
And it makes it so interesting. I like it, but obviously it backfires when
that side pod damage was mental.
Yeah, that was bad. He must have had floor damage as well.
He went so high up.
Yeah.
Have you seen all those memes? Red Bull gives you wings. Yeah. There he is, like, literally. So, disappointing for Perez going out in his in home race. Leclerc kept P2. Verstappen, this is where we just knew Verstappen was just going to...
After lap one, he has 1.5 seconds clear. Yeah.
He didn't pull off as much as... But we knew going into this race, tyre management was key.
Yeah, I feel like he was just managing, keeping the temps all good.
Because tyres overheating this weekend was a real thing.
Yeah.
And because it's such a high, it's a high
altitude.
A lot in practice, you're finding a lot of cars were struggling with it. A lot of people were with engines. Yeah, because
it's hot, right? And the main reason they struggle with temps is because the air's thinner, so there's actually less air pushing through all your cooling systems as you're driving. So that's how an F1 car stays cool.
Yeah.
Through its speed, it's got air like rushing through everything. So if you've got less air, you're in a hot environment, the car overheats.
It's, yeah. Lando Norris was the only one who started on softs. The rest were on hards or mediums. Mm-hmm. The front runners were pretty much on mediums. The back runners were on hards. I thought it was a bit of a weird move by McLaren starting on soft, because what we'd seen in qualifying and what we'd seen in practice is a soft go off very quick. So I know what they were trying to do. They were trying to get him a good start so then he can overtake. It didn't really work for him.
No, and that's the thing where I think because it's such an awkward run down to turn one, it, you know, even if you get a good launch, you can get squeezed
very quickly
because everyone is getting that toe. It just gets so insane into that first corner.
Yeah. The pit stops.
Finally, we got a Mercedes pit stop below 3 seconds.
2.5 and 2.6, I think it was.
They were actually, on average, the second quickest in the pits this weekend.
Were they?
Yeah.
Before we get into pit stops, Danny Rick, I have to give him a shout out, to be fair. He was holding off Lewis Hamilton well.
Yeah.
It took him a good 6 laps or so to overtake him.
I do. That Mercedes suffers in a straight line.
Yeah.
It hasn't got the speed of other cars.
No. So really struggled there.
But Danny Rick did drive well.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I thought it was impressive. So a lot of the mediums came in. And what happened was Lewis went from mediums to hards quite early on. Max even went very early on onto the hards.
Max went very early.
I was quite surprised for that because obviously they were planning to run him to the end on those. Again, Lewis was chasing after Carlos Sainz. He then pitted. They kept both Ferraris out. Again, very weird.
They extended the stint and Sainz lost his position to Lewis.
And Max. But what I mean is by that is Max had already overtaken him before he even pitted.
Which
is a bizarre...
Yeah, so Max gained a pit stop on him. Lewis undercut him.
Yeah, massively.
Ferrari, again, just didn't react, which I do find it strange how they keep pushing for these one-stop strategies when they know that they've got, in terms of deck, one of the worst cars on the grid.
That didn't make any sense to me. And I think when you look at it, by the time they actually pitted him, shortly after that, I think it was like 3 laps later.
Yeah, safety car,
which then went into a red flag. I have to really question, had Lewis passed, he had passed Charles by that point, that great overtake, hasn't he, before the red flag?
No. Lewis restarted P3.
Did he?
Yep. Because that's the best place to start on the track.
Oh, yeah. Okay. K-Mag, with that incident, obviously something broke there. Some sort of suspension broke and he went in. Nasty crash. The FIA, their decision-making is very, very poor. Because we were talking about it in the group chat, weren't we? We're like, safety car. And I was like, this surely is just a red flag.
I didn't think it was a red flag.
But you knew that was the barriers was all out of sync.
Yeah.
There was debris all over the place. Yeah. The car was on fire.
Well, the brakes were on fire.
Okay. And what are the brakes part of?
Yeah, but like it wasn't like, oh, because the fuel tank had been busted open. The brakes were on fire because it was really hot.
Yeah, but the brakes are still part of a car, so the car was on fire.
When you've got a safety car out there, right, all the cars are bunched up behind the safety car that's doing a controlled pace. We can get marshals there. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? If that car was mashed up and it was on the track, well, then of course you got a red flag it. Mm. But if it's off the track, it was off to the side.
Yeah.
Bear in mind, it was also on like a chicane. Why? I don't understand why we need a red flag when we're behind a safety.
No.
Weather, perfect. There is absolutely no risk here. Now, you can get people out on track, it's fine. Do you know what? Like, not physically on the track, but at the side of the track, fixing the tech pro barriers, and get the train to lift it off. The crane to lift it off. The red flag thing. And yeah, so they were slow. If they were going to red flag it, they needed to be quicker. But I still feel like they just didn't need to red flag it.
No, the only reason I also wonder if it was because it was on the corner. So when they're going through at the aim of where they're working on.
Yeah, but
if it was on a straight, but I can understand.
They're behind the safety car.
The safety car
can just slow down a bit through there.
Yeah, but okay, what happens if a car's brakes go or something? And they're literally going, when they're going through that barrier, go straight on into the barrier. I don't know. I'm just trying to work out if there's other reasons.
That could be the case. And what if we had it down a straight and a car had a blowout?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
And they spun out and smashed into all the marshals. These things do happen, but like, we got to be realistic here.
But we also know that actually the FIA, when they do eventually make their decision, they do go for the safer option, which was the red flag.
It was kind of obvious there was going to be a red, I think. You know, I think we were all saying this is going to be a red.
Because it benefited a lot. Well, it benefited a few teams. There's only two teams who actually had two new fresh of hearts, and that was Tsunoda and I can't remember who the other one was. There was two cars who had new hearts.
Mm-hmm.
The weird thing was it meant a lot of cars
now had to switch back to mediums if they wanted to change the tyres.
A lot of them weren't new mediums. They were scrubbed mediums. Some of them had like 7 laps old, all this stuff. So, for example, Lewis, his ones were 7 laps old.
5 laps.
7.
5.
7.
5.
7.
Get it up.
It actually said on the screen 7 laps old.
It said 5.
It didn't. It said 7.
It said 5.
It said 7.
Prove it.
Let's go 6.
No, because it was 5.
How am I going to prove it?
I don't know. But
I can't prove it. I can't prove it.
They were 5 laps old and he had done 1 flying lap on them.
Okay, fine. All right. So 7 laps old.
Still 5.
And we all said, didn't we, in the chat, we're like, what is going on here? Max was on hards. Did he go back on hards or was he mediums?
Max was on hards. I think Leclerc was on hards. He stayed on his hards,
yeah,
didn't he?
He stayed on. Leclerc was on hards. And I was thinking to myself, look, Leclerc's literally just recently gone on to hards because they've done that long stint anyway. And I have to say, Lewis Hamilton absolutely smashed it on those mediums because I was... Lando Norris smashed it on his mediums as
Lando
well.
Lando Norris killed it,
So let's break it down. Should we break it down by driver? And this is what we did last week, wasn't it?
That restart, by the way, was bullshit.
It was. I was
no excitement whatsoever.
No. And for the first time, we wanted a bloody standing start, and then we get that. Get rolling starts.
I was like, okay, Lewis is on mediums, Max is on used hards, Charles is on fresher hards, but that's fine. I was thinking, okay, Lewis P3, he's going to have the toe, the fresh tyres, this is going to be magic, he's going to go into P1. Nothing. Charles didn't even get Max. It was just boring.
It was. So boring start. Hamilton was very much chasing down Charles. That DRS train was in effect this weekend, actually, wasn't it?
It's kind of tricky when there's... Yeah.
I have to say, that overtake from Lewis Hamilton was beautiful.
Yep.
And that was like prime Hamilton.
Not the most beautiful overtake of the race, though.
No. Are you talking about Lando?
Lando and George, yeah.
Lovely overtake, wasn't
that
it?
That was lovely.
Yeah.
He
did a couple of good overtakes in that, because afterwards he did it on Danny Rick.
Yeah, he did get Danny Rick, but he got him into the corner, yeah, didn't he? Whereas he got George coming out of the corner, which, yeah, it was lovely. He played George.
George struggled this weekend.
He did. All
he did
weekend.
Struggle. Let's just touch on Lewis Hamilton, and I want to say something because I see a lot of tweets and I see a lot of comments about Lewis Hamilton that actually he's passed it, all of this stuff. I want to make something very clear. There is no one on that grid who can go head-to-head with Max Verstappen. You give Lewis Hamilton a competitive car, which is what I'm hoping that we'll go into 2024 with. You give him a competitive car, there is only one driver that Max Verstappen fears. There's only one driver that Max Verstappen knows who will challenge him, and that is Lewis Hamilton. There is no one else on that grid who can go head to head with Max Verstappen. And I also want to make it very clear, F1 needs Lewis Hamilton. Lewis Hamilton doesn't need F1. If we want, as a sports entertainment, and we want someone to go head to head with Max Verstappen, we need Lewis Hamilton in the sport. Otherwise, take Lewis Hamilton out, Max Verstappen will just go and just walk away with it year in, year out, because there is no one on that grid who is talented enough to go head to head with Max Verstappen.
Yeah, and next season will be interesting, because we're seeing, you know, Lewis is probably going to get P2 in the championship. It's a shame he got DQ last week. But, you know, you don't trust Perez to finish a race at this point. No. So,
could you break it down, okay? Charles Leclerc makes his own mistakes. He's not... He'll have the odd good race where he'll win it, and the pressure will get to him. He'll screw it up for him. Carlos Sainz, again...
just probably not at that level.
Not at that level. George Russell can't handle the pressure yet. Maybe in a few years he will, but he'll get to that point where Singapore is a prime example. He was under pressure. He made his own mistake.
Yeah.
He's not committed. Lando Norris, well, he'll just open the door for Max Verstappen. He won't go head to head with him. He won't challenge him.
The guy doesn't know how to win.
No. There's no one else on that grid who can actually go and go head to head with him.
Yeah, no, I think,
and that's not me. I'm a Lewis Hamilton fan, granted, but I generally think as a sport, we need Lewis Hamilton, because he is the only person. If we want competitive racing and we want a challenge or title challenge, once Lewis Hamilton gets that car back, a competitive car, he's the only one who can go head to head with Max.
Do your thing, Mercedes. Let's get the W15 cooking.
Because I saw the other day somebody tweeted, they were like, oh, Lewis Hamilton's just boring, we need to get him out of the sport. And I'm thinking, you don't realise how much F1 needs him.
No. When is he boring? What's he doing?
He's not boring. He's not boring in the slightest.
I mean, if you're going to bet on a man to finish second in the race at the moment, it would be Lewis.
Yeah. There's no one else.
So,
I don't know. Let's break down the drivers. Max Verstappen ended up finishing 13 seconds ahead. He was comfortable. Did very well. Held the race well. Managed his tyres. He was in control.
Did nothing wrong.
No one was going to come near him. Lewis Hamilton, yes, okay, he finished 13 seconds behind. But considering he was on those scrub mediums, did, what, 30-odd laps on them? And
more, I think. Was it 34, 35 laps or something he had to do on them?
And to top it off, still managed to get the fastest lap on the last lap.
While finishing 8 seconds ahead of Charles Leclerc.
While finishing, 8 seconds ahead. So,
who was on hards,
yeah,
by the way. So his tyres should have been coming into it. He should have been getting closer.
We're starting to see... We'll get onto Brazil in a minute. For the first time, and this will come back to haunt me, I'm sure, I'm feeling a Lewis Hamilton win this weekend.
Yeah, it's happening.
I honestly, it's Brazil. It's our favourite track. Lewis loves it. He performs well there. I'm feeling it this weekend.
It's going to happen, and I will be there.
And what, are you going to the race?
No, I'll just be there.
Yeah.
No matter what, I'll be there.
Lewis, solid race. Getting the fastest lap somehow on those tyres to still get the fastest lap on the last lap is...
yeah, that it is impressive.
It's impressive. We started seeing prime Lewis Hamilton again this weekend. Those overtakes were good.
He was a bit more aggressive this weekend.
I think he's starting to feel...
comfortable in that car.
He's starting to feel comfortable in that car, but I think he's also starting to feel, okay, we're now getting back. He's starting to get back to like, okay, I feel like this car's going somewhere.
Yeah, 100%.
Leclerc, I mean, didn't really do much wrong. Finished P3, quite a solid race for him this weekend. It just didn't have the pace to challenge.
He had damage for half the race as well.
And I still don't know what the FIA were doing with regards to. They left it very long. I mean, half of his side.
Do you know what I find ridiculous, right? They have the power to black and orange flag people, right? Yeah. Which essentially means, for those of you that don't know, you're driving a dangerous car, you need to come in and fix that part or retire the car.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. They have every opportunity to do that, right? The part light flies off, falls off. Inevitably, right? That's what happens. Then they put him under investigation.
Yeah.
Why does that make sense? Surely just avoid that. Tell him he's got to come in and change it.
Yeah, decisions. Carlos Sainz, again, he finished 5 seconds behind Charles Leclerc. Didn't really put a foot wrong, really.
Didn't do much wrong, but I'm surprised that he couldn't overtake Leclerc, who had a damaged front wing. He had no end plate on that front wing.
Yeah.
And Leclerc still gapped him.
But I don't think it made much of a difference. Well, we've seen over the years when...
Yeah, but then why would they waste money on getting end plates?
No, I get it. But there's certain tracks that it does affect.
Yeah.
This weekend, it didn't really seem to affect...
I would have thought it would have... You know, front wing's quite important for the downforce.
Yeah, no, I agree. Just what I mean is over the years, you've seen... Do you remember when Lewis in... Was it Saudi in 21 had his wing? He went on quite comfortably to win.
Yeah, but that's Lewis.
Yeah, no. But what I mean
and
is...
And he was driving a W12, do you know what I mean?
He didn't need a front wing.
Yeah, it's different.
Norris, obviously started P17, I think it was, 16.
Solid race.
That second stint after the red flag, he just came out, did great on those mediums.
This week, he deserved his driver of the day.
Yeah, great.
Last week... He didn't.
No. George Russell, 41 seconds behind Max.
I can't believe Norris finished ahead of him.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for that from George. If he didn't get overtaken... No, do you know what I mean? Lewis overtook both Ferraris.
Yeah.
Okay, one was because he undercut him. George was on the tail of Sainz for a long time. Couldn't do it. He then gets overtaken by Norris. For me, George had a bad weekend. And he's got no excuse for that.
He struggled this year.
He has struggled this year. Well, ever since they made particularly when they made the side pod change.
Yeah. And you've really seen the level between him and Lewis.
Yeah.
And there's still a massive gap. Even though George has said in interviews... that he's quick, he thinks he's quicker than Lewis, and
yeah, well, I mean, you know, I think I'm a 10 out of 10, I'm sure that might not be the case. Do you know what I mean? What is fact and what is opinion are two very different things.
Yeah, no, I agree. Danny Rick, again, very, very good weekend.
Great weekend.
Picked up six points this weekend.
It's a shame that, I know we'll talk about Tsunoda, but yeah, it's a shame Tsunoda got a bit too aggressive with Piastri.
Was it Piastri?
Yeah.
Oh, of course it was, yeah. I think Danny Rick showed quality this weekend. He didn't look under pressure. His pace was good.
Mm-hmm.
He went head-to-head with Lewis Hamilton, very early in the first stint. I thought you did a very good job. Piastri.
Bit off the pace.
Bit off the pace, yeah. He did struggle. He obviously swapped places with Lando to let him go so he can go and pick up more places. And since then...
Kind of embarrassing.
It is, especially when you start...
Yeah, what was he, like 9 places ahead of him? Yeah. You know, I'd be pretty embarrassed, personally.
Yeah. Alex Albon, I'm glad he managed to pick up a couple of points. P9 for him. Ocon, I mean, I liked Ocon, but he's starting to really wind me up this year. And that comment just tipped it off for me. It's like... Tell Hulkenberg and Haas that they got to get ready. I was just like, come on now. Like,
yeah, and I mean, when he referred to himself as Zesty Bestie when he got on the podium at Monaco.
Is that what you did? I didn't remember that.
Yeah, it was...
Oh, funny thing is, talking about stupid radio messages, obviously, do you see Mercedes did that post about Ferrari saying... Oh, well, in 5 laps, the hards will start coming to us and being better than them. And no. They're like, we're still waiting.
Oh, yeah, I did. I saw the tweet, yeah.
So, yeah, Ocon got P10. But let's quickly touch on Tsunoda because he looked good. And this is classic Tsunoda. And this is what really frustrates me in the sense of he gets into really good positions. His first 3/4 of the race seem really solid. He's in the points. He really looks good. And it's the final quarter or final third. He just seems to screw it for himself. He's too aggressive. His decision-making lets him down. He has the pace. He's a good driver. but he's I don't get it.
He's a bit error fueled, isn't he? I think it is just the bad decision making from like his temperament, where he's a bit too hot headed,
yeah.
And he's probably sitting behind Piastri getting so wound up, and then he makes a mistake, and you know, it was a racing incident. They touched, and I mean, he almost took out Piastri a few laps before that. So, yeah, it was kind of coming, and ruined his race.
Yeah,
and affected AlphaTauri, because they would have had, where did Danny Ric finish? Sixth, seventh?
Seventh.
They would have had a 7 and 8. Yeah. So
it did screw them a bit. So how do driver standings look after the Mexican Grand Prix? So Max Verstappen, 491 points. Perez, 240. Lewis, 220. So 20 points difference now.
Which it would be a 2-point difference if Lewis had got his... Well, didn't get disqualified.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, if Lewis can win or get P2 next week... Well, this week, sorry. And Perez pulls out a typical Perez performance and gets no points... Yeah, it can't be fun being Sergio Perez.
If Lewis can get P2, considering he's not in a rocket ship, he's had the Qatar Grand Prix where he didn't finish, he got disqualified in the American Grand Prix, and he still manages to come back.
Also not consistently the second fastest car all season. You know, I stand by my point that I made in earlier episodes. This Mercedes is not a bad car, despite what people say about it. You know, there's a reason they're P2 in the constructors. It's just the car's a little bit inconsistent and it needs to be better.
Yeah.
It's not a bad car.
No, I agree.
But Lewis has done a great job to get P2 over one of those Red Bulls, and particularly over the likes of Mercedes as a team can look at that and be like, well, we're getting that over Aston Martin, who started the season really strongly. We're getting that over McLaren, who it wasn't ages until they were into it. Do you know what I mean? They brought the upgrades and then all of a sudden, they were, like, really quick. You know, they've managed to develop the car and stay sort of within that position. So I think it's been a good season for Mercedes.
Yeah. Carlos Sainz is P4.
Ahead of Charles Leclerc.
Yeah. With 183 points. Fernando Alonso is fifth with 183 points. Norris is P6 with 169 points. And Charles Leclerc is in P7 with 166. Carlos Sainz, that if he finishes ahead, that'd be 2 out of 3 seasons that he's finished ahead. Which, I know we always say Charles Leclerc is a better driver, but actually,
the stats standings
aren't showing different. George Russell is down in P8 with 151 points, a shocking season for him. And then Piastri and then Gasly. Let me just get... the teams. So currently Red Bull 731 points, Mercedes 371, Ferrari 349, McLaren are up into fourth with 256, Aston Martin are fifth with 236, Alpine P6, Williams P7, AlphaTauri up to P8, Alfa Romeo P9, and the Haas team are in P10 with 12 points.
Yeah, bad season for Haas.
Very bad.
Big result for AlphaTauri this weekend. And if Williams are able to secure P7 in the championship, because I don't think they can get P6 now, can they?
Who, Williams?
Yeah.
I mean, they're, 73 points away.
So if they can secure that P7, mega season.
Yeah,
mega
definitely.
Season.
And I like Williams. I think Albon's done a great job. Shall we talk about Brazil?
Yep.
So if you want to know when it is, so FP1 on Friday is 2:30 till 3:30. Qualifying, it's a sprint shootout this weekend.
Yep.
See, realistically, Lewis could go ahead of Perez if he has a good sprint and he finishes P2 or P1 this weekend.
Yep.
Qualifying is 6 till 7 on Friday. The sprint shootout on Saturday is 2 till 2:44.
Nice.
The sprint on Saturday is 6:30 till 7:30, and the race on Sunday is 5 o'clock. So, good times. I love my notes.
Yeah.
Little quiz for you. When was the first Grand Prix held?
I know I have this every year. Well, had it last year. 1974.
1973.
Fuck.
Yeah, close. Number of laps?
Pretty sure it's 72.
71. lap record and held by who?
A 109 by probably like Valtteri Bottas or something.
So Valtteri Bottas 2018, 110, 5.
I've been one out on every single one.
Obviously, as we know, last year, Russell was P1, Hamilton was P2, followed by the Ferraris, and Verstappen was P6. And this was a controversial moment last year when...
Between the two Red Bulls.
Verstappen would not give the place back to Sergio Perez.
Verstappen also showed, again, that he's incapable of racing Lewis Hamilton last year at this track. The Red Bulls did not perform here last year, which really... It was really weird. It was a bit like Singapore this year, where it's like, well, where's their performance gone? Yeah. I really hope that's the same this year.
Obviously, we had the mad qualifying last year as well. K-Mag was on pole.
For the sprint.
For the sprint. Oh, because this is how they did it last year. Qualifying was for the sprint, wasn't it?
So you would... Yeah, you would qualify for the sprint.
And then where you finished in the sprint was when you
was started where you'd in the start race. In the race.
Yeah, obviously, it was a bit different. It's different this year, isn't it? You have separate qualifying and separate...
Yeah.
But K-Mag, because of... end up on P1. That was when they made the awful decision to put the Ferraris out on softs, even though it was
raining.
And in the sprint, do you know who won the sprint last year?
Do I know who won the sprint last year? No, I don't.
It was a double whammy for Russell. He won
the
sprint.
Did he win the sprint as well?
Hamilton was P3, Carlos Sainz was P2, and then Russell went on to... Hamilton would have won the race last year. He had damage, obviously, from the collision with Max.
You say that. George was really quick last year around there.
Yeah, no,
you know,
yeah,
we had the safety car relaunch. Yeah, I mean, it would be nice to see what Lewis could have done without damage, but George was quick.
George, yeah. No, very, very true. Valid point. Predictions for this weekend?
Lewis, Lando, Max.
All right, I was going to go Lewis, Max, Lando.
Oof.
I don't know.
I'm expecting a similar drop-off to last year from the Red Bull.
Yeah. This is the first race in a long time where I was like, okay, I feel like Merck on their way back.
Yeah, I really think if they're going to win a race this season...
This is it.
It's this weekend. I feel like they've got no chance at Las Vegas because that track is pure straight line.
Yeah.
And then Abu Dhabi, I feel like the Red Bull, Max will just win it. I feel like, you know, Las Vegas, Abu Dhabi, they're Max's tracks. But yeah, this one is a Mercedes track.
They both start like P19, 20. They've got to take like a...
Lewis has done it before.
He has. But let us know what your thoughts are. Let us know who you think is going to win this weekend. We'll be back next week. Anything else to talk about? Have I missed anything? No?
I don't believe so.
We'll be back next week previewing the Las Vegas Grand Prix, reviewing the Brazilian Grand Prix.
I think we've got a week off.
We've got a week off. Oh, yeah, we won't.
As in a week off racing. So we'll talk about Brazil next week. Then the week after, we'll talk about Las Vegas.
But yeah, have a good week. And we shall see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.